This episode of the Missions Podcast is sponsored by Reformation Heritage Books, publisher of How to Lead Your Family by Dr. Joel Beakey, a concise, practical guide to biblical leadership in the home. Use the code LEADABWE, all caps, at rhb.org to get 20% off now through September 30th. Welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE. I'm joined once again for another exciting journey into our conversations on missions and what's happening in the world with Scott Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. And we've got quite an intriguing and I think weighty and important conversation coming today, Scott. First, if you're a new listener or viewer, you should know there's multiple places that you can get this show. If you're using your favorite podcast app, or perhaps you're watching on YouTube or on NRB TV, however you've chosen to get a hold of the show today, we're glad you're here. Leave us a positive rating and review in your favorite platform. That'll help other people discover this content. And Scott, this is the type of show where we don't just want other people to discover the content. We want them to actually put it into practice. And I'm reminded constantly, we're not just talking about theory. There's a lot of episodes where we like to get into the theology of things or the strategy of things. But then this is a conversation today where we're talking about the rubber meeting the road. And in a very challenging part of the world, Scott, I think for months now, and especially over the last few weeks, all of the world's eyes have been looking to Israel and what's happening there, and to the surrounding region, and to the whole Palestinian question. And in Gaza in particular, it's a challenging place on so many levels for the citizens there, for the government involved, and all sorts of other factors that we'll talk about. But it's a particularly challenging place, I think, for obvious reasons, for a believer in Christ to live and to thrive there and to minister openly. And Scott, I'm really encouraged by the fact that we have the immense privilege and opportunity of actually talking to somebody whose ministry is there in Gaza. Scott, if you'll introduce our guest for us.
Yeah, it's usually impossible to talk to people who are doing work on the ground in very highly secure areas, but we are very privileged to have a longtime pastor, Pastor Hana Massad. And so Hana in Arabic, if I'm saying that correctly, means John. So don't think of Hannah, but you can think of John, Pastor John. We're so glad to have you. He was the pastor for many years of the Gaza Baptist Church, and has since been in America for the most recent history, but still has a long time, long-reaching ministry in that area. And so we're going to get someone who really knows what's going on the ground, especially as it relates to Christians. So Pastor Hana, we're so glad to have you here. Welcome to our show. I want to just start out by asking you, maybe just introduce yourself, your history, your ministry there in Gaza, but also if you could just kind of walk us through. I think a lot of Americans, when they think of Gaza, they just think of Hamas, they think of what's going on there in terms of Muslims, but they don't think a lot about the fact that for much of the history of that region, that was a Christian region, and the Christian presence in all the Palestinian areas was pretty significant up until just recently. So maybe you could just tell us a little bit about the history of Gaza, your ministry there, and the history of the church there in Gaza today.
Thank you so much, Pastor, and it's great to be with you. I born and grew up in Gaza. My parents belong to the Greek Orthodox Church, but I got to know the Lord in personal way through Gaza Baptist, which is the only evangelical church in the whole Gaza Strip, and I had the privilege to be called by the same church where I got saved to be their first local pastor, and I did that from 87 to 91, went to Bethlehem Bible College, and then the Lord opened door for me to go to Southern California to Fuller Seminary, but Gaza was in my heart, so after I finished my studies at Fuller, I went back to the same church, joined the faculty of Bethlehem Bible College. And just to make the story short, in 06, 07, we went through persecution. One of our leaders been kidnapped by militants in Gaza, and after 10 hours been executed because of his faith in Christ, left a young widow, two children. She was pregnant. And you know, now she's raising three. Now they're grown in the West Bank with their mother. And so she has wonderful ministry there. Just to come back to your question, really our history as a Christian go back to the day of Pentecost. When Peter preached his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, there are 14 different ethnic groups listening to Peter. And one of these ethnic groups were Arab. So our roots really go back many, many years ago. But through the history, the number of Christians decreased, you know, in the region, in Gaza and West Bank. But we continue to have a Christian presence in Palestine, and we try to reflect Christ's love. So in Gaza right now, with the horrible conflict, there is about 600 Christians living in Gaza. And they evacuated in two churches since this conflict started. And it's been really hard for them, but we continue to minister and try to do what we can with the Christian community in Gaza through relief work, and try to do what we can and to reflect the Christ's love, not only helping our people, the Christians, but also reaching out with the Christ's love to civilians, the children and women who's really going through tough times these days.
Now, as I understand it, and you can correct me, I mean, tell us about the status of Gaza Baptist Church. From what I understand, it's down to about 60 members, and yet you're still providing food and comfort and support to hundreds and hundreds of people in the area. But what is the status, the state of that church now? How are they surviving? How are they hanging on in the midst of something you've talked about in other interviews? You talk about two fires that they're in the midst of right now. What are those two fires, and how is the church doing right now in the midst of that?
Well, yeah, when people ask what it's like to live and to minister in Gaza, first I will say I never been in a prison, but I lived in one when I was in Gaza, because Gaza is a very small piece of land, about 30 miles long, 7 miles wide, more than 2 million people living in it. It's one of the most populated area in the world, and there is a siege almost from everywhere. But is how it's like to minister in Gaza, like Pastor, you mentioned, we live between two fires, as the fires of the militants, Muslims in one hand, but also the fire of the Israeli occupation in another hand. But there is a third fire, if I may add, which is unfortunately, the traditional church sometimes not very happy about who you are as evangelical and what you do. So really the big question, how are you able to reflect the Christ love in the midst of all these fires? How to keep the peace, how to keep the respect, how to reflect the Christ love? So these are the challenges we faced in daily basis, and to arrange our priorities in a way pleasing to the Lord. So Gaza Baptist, before the war when I went, you know, Gaza Baptist started back in 1956 through Southern Baptist missionaries. And later, you know, the churches start to grow. We start to have our own building. But the challenges continue. For example, I never forget when 12 militants in Gaza really in the process to put 40 kilogram of explosive material in the church building, and just how to see God intervene in divine way to protect us and to protect the building. Also, the number of the members of Gaza Baptist really become less and less. People left for different reasons. The persecution made really pressure on the church. We have a library, which is part of the church, which is the only Christian public library in the whole Gaza Strip. And that was a blessing for the community. We partner with Christian school and also do relief, not only for the Christian, but also for the wider community. And this is one of the practical ways we try to reach out with the Christ love, even in the refugee camps in the Gaza Strip. So when I go visit Gaza, before the war, we have about 60 people attending the services from the Christian community. They're not members, but people who like to come and to hear the word of God. And this is what we did. But as I said, the Christian community become smaller and smaller. But the good news, we still able, even today, every Sunday, we able to meet on Zoom. And we have some people from the Christian community in Gaza who joined us, but also we have other members who really now scattered around the world that we meet together every Sunday, 8:30 to 10 o'clock Eastern daytime AM here. And it's been a blessing to encourage one another. But again, you know, by the grace of God, even though we are a small group, but we're able to reach out and to help. Since the war started, by the grace of God, Gaza Baptist, as we partner with the Christian Mission to Gaza, we provided about 50,000 hot meals. Again, not only for the Christians, but also for the wider community. Also provide clean drinking water in different locations in Gaza. And we're very grateful for that.
Let me just ask a clarifying question, too. You talk about one of the fires being Muslim militants persecuting the Christian community there. Is that still a factor? I mean, in the midst of this war, I guess my question is, do the Muslim radicals there really have time to worry about persecuting the small number of believers there? It sounds like you're saying the answer is yes. That shouldn't surprise me. It's just really amazing to me. Is that correct? Am I right in my understanding?
Yeah, I mean, the persecution was more before the war. There is a small percentage of militants, as I mentioned, who kidnapped one of our leaders and after 10 hours executed him with two bullets, one in the back of his head, which is damaged the forehead, and that bullet which is killed him, and another bullet from the side. But now, you know, with the horrible situation, I think the focus now more about the conflict, Hamas with Israel, back and forth. But still, some Christians feel the pressure sometimes with the difficult society we live in.
You see so many different things in the news, and it feels like the news is more and more polarized. So on one hand, you have stories that we see here of, you know, babies dying, people not being able to get food, mass starvation, you know, just the leveling of the whole region, the whole city and the surrounding area. On the other side, you have people saying things like, well, you know, the citizens should just overthrow Hamas and get rid of them. And if they would do that, all this would just end. I would love to hear your perspective on what is it as bad on the ground as what some are saying, the sources you work with, the Christians you work with, how desperate is the situation that's going on right now. And I'm curious, based on other things you've said and in other interviews, how is this, you know, we all know no matter how bad it is bad. How is this affecting the opportunity to spread the gospel? Are Christians having opportunities to serve in new ways that they did not have before? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on both of those aspects.
You know, I mean, the situation is really hard, and the situation beyond words. I never forget when my neighbor, where I born and grew up, said, Hannah, we start to eat animals' food. And then he said, animals' food is not even available. This is before, I mean, like in the beginning of the war. But right now, it's also been very difficult. My neighbor mentioned to me, like one of his relatives, his nephew, he went to get food from Gaza humanitarian organization. And he'd been shot at. And he has five children, five girls and one boy. So he went to get some flour, some food for them, and he'd been killed. And another friend mentioned to me that a believer went with his, you know, with his cousin to get food. Unfortunately, he didn't come back. So he has to come back by himself. He'd been shot at as well. What I hear, and also even the Christians in Gaza went through tough times. In the beginning of the war, the Christians who've been evacuated in the Greek Orthodox Church compound, 18 of them been killed at once, including my aunt. So also the lady who played the piano for Gaza Baptist for many, many years, she's in her 80s. Unfortunately, sniper shot her, left in the street of Gaza bleeding. Nobody was able to help her. Even the ambulance wasn't able to reach her. So she left bleeding until she died. So my brothers and sisters here in the West, Christ is connecting us together. Christ brought us together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's important to know what your brothers and sisters are going through. We have love for everybody, as you know, because when you have this encounter with Christ, you cannot help but accept loving everyone. Mm-hmm. Because all of us created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And because we experience God's love, we're able to love. And also because we experience mm-hmm. His forgiveness, we're able to forgive and to try, by the grace of God, to reflect His love. So,
amen. What has that been like as you've shared your perspective, your experiences with Christians here in the West? Because as we've already made mention of, there's so much polarization around these issues. They're so politicized. Are you finding that believers' hearts are open to hearing your story? Are you finding that people already have their mind made up one way or another? And I'd love for you to share that. I'd love to know more about just how exactly you can be between these three different fires and really be showing the love of Christ while you compose your answer. I want to take a quick pause and remind our audience about our friends at Reformation Heritage Books and speak specifically to the Christian men in our audience. If you want to be a better husband and a better father, I know I do. You can learn more about that in How to Lead Your Family by Dr. Joel Beakey, which offers a biblical and practical guide for leading in the home as a prophet, a priest, and a king, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Drawing from his decades of pastoral and family life experiences, this short read is packed with wisdom and encouragement to help men lead with conviction and lead with grace. And you can go to rhb.org and use our promo code LEAD, A-B-W-E, all caps, and you'll get 20% off. And if you're a new customer, when you order, they'll also email you back a 10% coupon for your next order after you create your account. So you can do all of that at rhb.org. Remember, this offer ends September 30th. With that out of the way, Pastor Hannah, again, I'd love for you to speak to that. What type of reception are you receiving from the U.S. believers that you've shared with?
You know, it's a very good question, Pastor. Thank you. Sometimes it's really difficult. I see people go too far to one side, to this side, or too far to the other side. For example, once I was preaching in a church and the brother came to me between services and he said, well, there is no such thing called Palestinians. And as if, you know, telling you in your face, you not existed, and we've been there for generations. And I think my brothers and sisters in the West, they really need to know there is Christians and there is people in Gaza for many generations. And really also, if I may just maybe quickly just mention a little history. I mean, concerning this conflict, how far back in history you can go. I mean, we cannot really go back to the time of Abraham, where is Isaac and Ishmael. But if you go back about 100, 150 years ago, there's many Palestinians living there, Muslims, Christians, Druze, all of them speaking Arabic. And the Jewish population at that time, it's about 5%, maximum 10%. And as you know, they start to come back in the early 1900s. And with the First World War in one hand, and more Jewish people start to come back, especially with the horrible of Holocaust. And then, as you know, in 1948, the State of Israel started. But many brothers and sisters here in the West didn't know. In the same time when the State of Israel started, there is more than 700,000 Palestinians. 50,000 of those are Christians. They became homeless. So
50,000.
Yeah, 50,000 to 55,000 Christians became homeless. So my challenge for my brothers and sisters, how we believe in God of love and God of justice. So how are we going to respond to Christians who lost homes and lost land at that time? How we can balance that, and, you know, just a thought to think about. And it's a difficult time here also in the States. I feel sometimes I'm walking in a thin thread because I have a lot of pain. As I shared, that I lost my aunt, I lost sister Ilham, who played the piano, and also lost the friends, whereas Christian father have to bury all his three children at once while they try to find the shelter inside, you know, the church compound. So I have a lot of emotions and a lot of pain. But in the same time, I was concerned or afraid even if I start to share the pain I'm going through as a Christian, that people will misunderstand and will start to accuse you about this or about that. So the question, how to balance, this situation. So it's not easy. But in the same time, I try to remind myself, what is our priorities as Christians? We have a higher call. We want to know the Lord better, to make him known. This is the most important thing for us. And then, of course, our family and the ministry that the Lord trusted us with. Mm-hmm. But in the same time, how are we able to share this with a peaceful, respectful situation? And I found it very challenging. But again, I try always, by the grace of God, to live by the power of love and forgiveness. And always I try to remind myself, Hannah, you have this option, either to live by, you know, to allow unforgiveness and bitterness to rule in your life, or the other option, which is God's way, to live by his love and his forgiveness. And because when we allow unforgiveness and bitterness to rule in our life, we will be done. We will lose our effectiveness in the kingdom of God, and we will lose God's call even in our life. And this is not God's way. So continuously we have this option to choose how to live and how to reflect Christ's love, even in difficult situations.
I have a friend here in the Bay Area. I was talking to you about him a little bit earlier. He is a Palestinian pastor here. And he tells a story of his family, very similar. They lived in Joppa, had a home in Joppa. And after Israeli independence, basically they fled the war. And then when they came back, basically someone was living in their house and they had no ability to move back and ended up having to leave to Jordan. And, 50,000 Christians. And now how many would you do you think are probably still in that area?
About 600.
600.
Individuals.
That makes a huge impact on a region.
Yeah, but there's some more, Pastor. I'm sorry. There's more like in the West Bank, but in Gaza, it's just about 600 individuals.
Mm. Well, I think there's so much that's important here. And by the way, for all of our viewers and listeners, Scott and I will spend more time reacting and talking about this important issue in our bonus episode, which we record after our main episode every week. You can get access to that in your Apple Podcast feed using the subscription button at the top or at missionspodcast.com/premium for $9.99 per month. We'll get you access behind the scenes to much more, including that bonus show. But Pastor Hannah, one of the challenges that we face here in the U.S., of course, is that there's differences of conviction theologically among believers about what to believe about the Middle East, what to believe about the state of the modern-day nation we call Israel, and so forth. And here's the thing about all of that controversy is it's exactly that. It's Christian believers reading the Bible coming to slightly different conclusions. But what we know definitively is that we have to exercise compassion towards fellow brothers in Christ in difficult parts of the world. That's what I appreciate so much about your story. I can relate. I think a lot of our people can relate to what it's like to be a part of a Baptist church of 60 people. For goodness sakes, that probably describes the majority of our audience goes to a church that's somewhat like that. And so I think we need to recognize that when one part of the body suffers, all parts suffer together. And there's just simply parts of the world where we don't hear about what Christians and evangelical Christians in particular are experiencing. Brother, would you please share with our audience in just the minute or two that we have left how they can hear more, how they can support your ministry, and also I believe you've written a book on this topic as well that may be important background information.
Yeah, I thank you so much. If you're able to go to Christian Mission to Gaza, cm2g.org, and you can subscribe our newsletter. Yeah, it would be great. And be interested that I wrote a little book called, you know, Pastor from Gaza. You're able to find it in Amazon, which talk about what we went through and the ministry and the challenges, and also talk a little bit about the conflict and, you know, draw a better picture about this historical conflict between Israel and Palestine. And it's just, you know, been a blessing to be here and to share with you, pastors, and also to share with our brothers and sisters. And together, as we, you know, try to think together and seek the Lord, and how be able together by the grace of God to be the feet and the hands of Jesus in this difficult situation. Again, as I mentioned, our priorities is the Lord, to love him from our heart, to love our neighbor, and to reflect the Christ love. And may I just say in the end, I believe there's a prophecy God wants to fulfill concerning Israel in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. But in the same time, let us focus on the bigger picture, John 3:16. That for God love all people. But God going to do it anyway. But let us continue to be the people of God that he wants us to be. And just the three things God is expecting of every one of us as followers of Christ. First of all, do justice. You know, Micah 6:8, well-known verse. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before the Lord. And this is my prayer for you and for me. God help us, especially at this difficult time.
Amen. Absolutely. And being ambassadors of peace in the middle of a warlike and often conflict-riddled context. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for listening and for watching. Join us for our bonus conversation that Scott and I are about to have. Again, you can go to missionspodcast.com/premium to get access to that, or subscribe to the premium content in your Apple Podcasts app. You can learn more about ABWE, which is the ministry that's behind the Missions Podcast, at abwe.org, and maybe take your next step in missions, in bringing the love of Christ to all the nations. To get more content from this show, go to missionspodcast.com. And until our next episode, go make disciples of all the nations.